So as far as the final exam goes, basically it will be a comprehensive exam. It will cover everything that we've covered this semester. I will promise you an NP completeness question. I will not promise you a grossly disproportionate amount of NP completeness. So it will be comprehensive for the entire semester. We spent 2 to 3 weeks on this. 2 to 3 weeks divided by 14 weeks is about the fraction. Maybe a little bit more, but not much more. So you should be studying everything, not just the NP completeness. If you know everything that we did before for the midterms, then just study NP completeness. Okay, if you don't, study everything. Any questions about what to study? Okay, the format will be, you have like 2.5 hours, which is about twice as long as a midterm. My plan will be to make it slightly less than twice as long as of two midterms. Okay, so the midterm I said was 5-ish problems. This will probably be 10-ish problems, maybe where the ish may be a little bit negative. So maybe it'll be something like 9, 10, 8, something like that. Any questions? Yes.
So what you're saying is one of the 8 or 10 would be incomplete.
One of the 8, perhaps even 2 of the 8, but not 3 of the 8.
Okay.
So I mean, it will definitely be maybe 2 of the 10. 1 of the 10 is possible. 2 of the 10 is possible. 3 of the 10 is not possible. Okay. So I'm not trying. So study it. Try to learn it. In fact, once you learn it, it's actually relatively easy. But until you learn it, it's actually not easy. Okay. Any questions? Okay. Any other questions about the exam? The problems will be, like I said, taken from the list of problems. They might be problems I used before. They might be problems I did not use before. Okay? And you'll find out when the exam is given. What was the question? What day is the exam? The exam is, I believe, on the 20th. The 20th is Friday, correct? Tuesday. So not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday, right? So... Right, so somehow if we were to draw out the weeks, it seemed like it was a long way away. So basically, right, the idea is that, that the classes end here on the 9th. Okay, is that right? Yes. Then there's a week of finals. Then there is another partial week of finals. And then the last day of finals is the 20th. So we are on the last day. I'm going to have both my finals on the last day of finals. Okay? So that's the Tuesday, the 20th. You guys, I believe, are your final at 2 o'clock, right? And I believe that the room is here. If for some reason it's not here, there will be a sign to say otherwise. But I believe that the room is here. Any questions? Else, does anybody know otherwise or have any reason to think otherwise? Anybody have any reason to think that's right? Oops. I don't know. They sometimes assign these rooms. If not, there'll be a sign, and you'll have 2.5 hours, so you'll have time to get over there to the right room. Any questions? Okay. Any other questions about the final or anything like this?
Well, it's going to be like generally a balanced final?
Yeah, it'll be balanced. I will try to have grossly, we have 14 weeks, we have 10-ish problems. Okay, I will probably try to roughly, round things equally, but of course, you can't divide it exactly equally. Sometimes there's better problems on one subject than another. That's how I feel at that. But grossly, like we did in class. Yes? I'm going to be available. I'm going to be in the office a lot. I'm not going to have I'd rather not have the fixed office hours. So I recommend that we do is the following. You guys, if you want to see me, stop by my office. If you don't want to stop by my office, send me email telling me when you want to stop by your office and give me a spectrum of times, and I'll see what I can do. Okay? That's my vision. Any questions or comments? Okay? Very good. Any other questions about the final or anything like that? Okay, so let's finish talking about NP completeness today. The first question is, what was the problem of the day? Does everybody remember the problem of the day? I think I, what was the problem of the day? Does anyone remember? What?
Something you Larry and
cycle. What does it actually say? Let's go through the problem of the day, because that's another relatively simple NP completeness proof once you understand it. Okay? And let's see if we can go through and do these. Does anybody have the text for that problem today? Okay. I think I know it, but I'd like to just read it to you. Okay. You have it here? Okay, so what is the problem of the day, said? It says, an Eulerian cycle is a tour that visits every edge in the graph exactly once. Does everybody believe that? Remember that from graph theory? So here we have a graph. We can visit every edge in the graph exactly once and get back to where we started. That's an Eulerian graph. An Eulerian subgraph is a subset of edges and vertices that has an Eulerian cycle. So if I add this particular edge to the graph, now the graph does not have an Eulerian cycle. How do we prove this graph does not have an Eulerian cycle? Those of you who took graph theory or combinatorics, yes?
Suddenly increase the number of odd edges.
I've got two odd degree vertices, okay? And you can't, an Eulerian graph is Eulerian only if all the vertices are of even degree. So does this have an Eulerian cycle? The answer is no. But suppose, let's say, I want to find what is the largest subgraph, okay, that is Eulerian. Okay, namely, let's say I'm determined to start driving and visit every road exactly once. What is the most roads I can see and end up back where I started from? That's the problem of the maximum Eulerian subgraph. Does everybody see what I mean by that? So the maximum Eulerian subgraph would probably result from deleting this edge, right? Any questions? Okay, that's what the maximum Eulerian subgraph problem is. And it says, prove that this problem is hard. Okay, finding the actual Eulerian cycle, if the graph is Eulerian, finding an Eulerian cycle of it is easy, right? You know how to do that. You learned how to do that in AMS 301. Okay, and the test if it's Eulerian, well, you have to count up the degrees, are they even? But here I ask for what is the largest subset of edges, which is Eulerian. And that problem I ask you to prove hard. Okay? But I fortunately give you a hint. It says the Hamiltonian cycle problem is NP complete even if the graph, each vertex in the graph, is incident upon exactly three edges. Okay? So what does that all tell me? What is Bobilli and what is Bandersnatch? Okay? So Bandersnatch would be Hamiltonian cycle on degree three graphs. Right? That's the problem that I'm suggesting that you use, right? Okay. What is Hamiltonian cycle? Given a graph, is there a way to visit all the vertices exactly once and get back home? And the answer is yes in this particular graph. Right? That's a Hamiltonian cycle. Does this graph have a Hamiltonian cycle? No, because once you get over there, you're stuck. You can't come back, right? Does this graph have a Hamiltonian cycle? No, because one, two, three, you can't get back to where you started from, right?
Yeah.
What? You can, but you're not allowed to repeat a vertex. I agree, if the graph is connected, you can obviously always get between any pair of vertices if you're willing to repeat vertices. Right? Let's say that this is my graph, and I want to visit every vertex and get back to where I started from. If I don't mind seeing vertices again and again, I can clearly just do a depth-first traversal to make sure I visit every vertex and just walk backwards. Hamiltonian cycle says you can't visit a vertex, and any vertex more than once. That is a Hamiltonian cycle. Okay, give it a graph, visit the bit so that don't visit any vertex more than once. This particular graph has a Hamiltonian cycle. Does it have more than one Hamiltonian cycle? We agree the outside thing is a Hamiltonian cycle here. Is there any other Hamiltonian cycle?
I don't see one. What if? But of course, it's a hard problem to find them, so I shouldn't trust you. What about this? Where is that edge? Is there now another Hamiltonian cycle?
Yeah.
How do I do it now? I probably can go like this. How could I do it now? I'll have to visit that edge to take advantage of it. What do I do now? I'm going to let this guy go back here. Looks like I'm stuck. I'm not sure I see any other Hamiltonian cycle. I have to visit each vertex exactly once.
Yes.
Up to the top one. Where do I want to go?
Right.
If I go up here, I'm in trouble.
No, from the top one go down.
So that I could have done, right? So that's one way I could have taken advantage of it. Okay? But it's hard to find Hamiltonian cycles. See, we have a trouble doing it. Okay? Now, if we had another class period, I'd prove to you it's going to be complete. But you have to trust me for now. Hamiltonian cycle is hard. And in fact, Hamiltonian cycle is hard even on degree 3 graphs. What does degree 3 graphs mean? Every vertex has degree 3. Is Hamiltonian cycle hard on vertices of graphs where every vertex has degree 2? No, why not? Give me an algorithm to solve Hamiltonian cycle on a graph where every vertex is of degree 2. Basically, what can I have if every vertex is of degree 2? Basically, all I'm going to have are loops and loops. Right? Cycles, disjoint cycles. My entire graph is basically going to have to consist of disjoint cycles. So if that's true, then I basically test, do I have one cycle? If I have one cycle, it's Hamiltonian. If not, it's not Hamiltonian, right? So for degree 2, it's easy. For degree 3, it turns out to be hard. Any questions about that? Okay, I don't know what you mean by degree restrictions or anything like that. Okay? So what is the problem saying now? So show me how to solve Hamiltonian cycle on degree 3 graphs using maximum Eulerian subgraph. Which to be a decision problem means what? You give it a graph G prime and an integer K. And you ask, is there a subgraph of G prime that is Eulerian that has at least K edges, right? That's how you would make it a yes-no question, right? Everybody agree with that? And we only deal with yes-no questions in this business. So how do we do this? How can we set the value of G prime and G? Such that G prime will have an Eulerian subgraph of size K, if and only if the original graph has a Hamiltonian cycle on it. Yeah? You might be able to. I think this is actually simpler than that. Any questions? Any other ideas? Well, before, if we have trouble, we'll go back to you. Okay? Any questions? What about the following? What if I say G prime equals G and H equals the number of vertices in the graph? Okay, let's think about what this means and why this might work. If I have a graph here of degree 3, how many in the maximum Eulerian subgraph of a degree 3 graph, how many edges might be used that are adjacent to any vertex? 2. Why not 3? So I have to get in and get out. There's no way you're telling me that for a degree 3 graph, there is no door that uses Eulerian subtor that uses more than 2 vertices per edge, right? So what do I get? If I give you a degree 3 graph with n vertices, and you give me an Eulerian subgraph of n edges, what do we know about that? got to visit every one of the n vertices, going in once and going out once, right? No, let's listen to what this is saying, actually. What I actually will claim is that there is a degree, there is an n, suppose the graph G had n vertices in it. I claim that there is a subgraph of n edges of this graph that is Eulerian, if and only if the original graph, okay, had a Hamiltonian cycle. Why is that true? A Hamiltonian cycle means what? I visit all the n vertices and get back home. If I do that, how many edges did I use? N. You have to get back home, right? It's down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. N. Okay? Does everybody agree with that? So if you're asking me for a subgraph of this that is Eulerian and that has n edges, that means I have to be able to start from one vertex here, walk over n edges, and come back home. Right? The interesting thing here is that because the graph is of degree 3, I know that I will never visit any vertex more than once on that tour, right? Okay? So in fact, the Hamiltonian cycle here is exactly the maximum Eulerian subgraph, okay, if it exists. Okay? So these two problems are in fact the same. Okay, these two problems are basically exact. Maximum Eulerian subgraph on trivalent graphs where you insist on visiting n edges is exactly the same as Hamiltonian cycle. Okay? So if you can solve this fast, you can solve that one fast. Okay? Everybody agree with that? But this one, I tell you, is hard, so you can't solve that one fast. Yes? If the vertices are not degree 3, well, let's think what it means, first of all. First of all, if the vertices were not degree 3 of the graph, then my argument is wrong. Okay? But notice that this problem, Hamiltonian cycle on degree 3 graphs, is hard. So if I could solve this problem, so I can't solve Hamiltonian cycle even on degree 3 graphs, right? That's what this tells me, the hardness of this. And this tells me, basically, I can't even find maximum Eulerian subgraph on graphs of vertices of degree 3. Right? Now, I also probably can't find them on graphs of degree 4, 5, or 6. But the fact that there are some hard examples of this problem means the problem is hard, right? There may be a lot of easy problems of this version of this problem. But again, let's imagine Bush and Saddam Hussein were exchanging problems, okay? You know, Bush says, hey, I feel like solving a maximum Eulerian subgraph problem today. Okay? What kind of instance is Saddam Hussein going to give him to make it hard? They'll give you one that he knows is an empty complete version, right? Okay? So, you know, so that's really what the point is. The fact that for some of the inputs the problem is hard, the whole problem is hard, right? You can't solve it for those inputs. Okay? Saying I can solve a lot of versions of it doesn't help you. You have to prove that you can solve all of them efficiently. Any questions about this example? Okay? As you can see, the reduction is quite simple, so this is a good one to try to follow. Okay, I claim it's actually quite clear once you understand what this problem is and that problem is. So any questions about what those problems are or about how the reduction works? Yes? Oh, Hamiltonian cycle is true or false? Is there a Hamiltonian cycle? Right? So basically, Hamiltonian cycle decision problem doesn't give me the actual cycle. It tells me yes or no, is there a cycle? Right? Okay? So you're just saying yes or no, is there a cycle is hard. I don't even, it's not even, the fact that actually finding the cycle is hard. Of course, once you find the cycle, it's easy to answer yes or no. Okay? Any questions? Any questions about this example? Can I go over the reduction once more? See, this is a very cheesy reduction because these two problems are almost cookbook similar. They're called different things. But what makes this thing work is that, in fact, this can be made to be a special case of this. Okay? So what is the problem saying? Hamiltonian cycles, if you give me a graph, true or false, does it have a Hamiltonian cycle? Okay, again, let's look at another one. Let's look at a graph of degree 3. Graphs of degree 3 are somewhat hard to draw, actually. So let's just make one, or try to make one. Okay? Now, what do we have that's not degree 3? Maybe I'll have this thing over here. And what do I have now? How many vertices are unhappy? These two are unhappy, right?
That one's degree 4.
Well, that one's unhappy too, okay. So now we've got three unhappy vertices, right? That's four vertices that are unhappy. Okay? I could add one more vertex to reduce it to three vertices that are unhappy. One vertex that's unhappy, right? You agree with that? Now there's only one vertex that needs more? So what if I made three copies of this graph and then add another vertex to connect to the lonesome one, right? That one will now be a degree 3 graph. Does everybody agree with that? Does this graph have a Hamiltonian cycle?
No.
No, why not? Give me an argument why this graph does not have a Hamiltonian cycle.
It'll one way in, one way out.
Right, you go cruising through here, you have to go someplace. But how are you going to get to the vertices in there without reusing it? Okay? So the decision problem, does this graph have a Hamiltonian cycle, will say no. Right? That was easy for us. But the fact that Hamiltonian cycle is hard on degree 3 graphs means there are graphs of degree 3 for which this is not so easy. Right? So that's the problem here. The second problem, maximum Eulerian subgraph says, given a graph in K, is there a subset of K edges, subset of the graph, that's connected? Means so I can start from one vertex and get back to where I started from, walking over K distinct edges, right? K or more distinct edges. Okay? Now, what is interesting? If I let my graph G prime be G to be a legal input to this, I know that this has to be a degree 3 graph, right? So I know that that the input to this thing is a degree 3 graph. And I know that the only way I can have an Eulerian subgraph where every vertex is less than 2, has degree less than 3, less than or equal to 3, and visits every edges, is if that tour was a Hamiltonian cycle. Why is that? Is it possible that the Eulerian subgraph of a degree 3 graph has some vertex of degree 3? Why not? Right, because the fact that I walked in, walked out, somehow I'm going to have to get in and out over that one thing, can't be done. Okay? So I know I can't visit any vertex more than once. I'm going to go in and out. The only way I can accumulate a large enough Eulerian subgraph is if, in fact, I get back and visit every single vertex without repeating any body. Okay? So what does that mean? That means that this particular problem, maximum Eulerian subgraph, asking if a degree 3 vertex has an Eulerian subgraph of n edges, answers the question, does that graph have a Hamiltonian cycle? Yes?
Can you give us an example of a graph
a degree 3 graph that does have a Hamiltonian cycle?
Sure.
K33. Let's take a look at this one. Complete bipartite graph, right? Does this graph have every degree 3? Does this thing have a Hamiltonian cycle? boom, 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 boom. So the answer is yes. Does this thing have an Eulerian subgraph of size 6? Yes. Could it have an Eulerian subgraph of size larger than 6? No, it can't, right? So, in fact, the act of telling me, you know, if someone says to you, does this graph have a Hamiltonian cycle? Okay? And you say, well, I can't solve Hamiltonian cycles because it's hard. You then want to trick them. You say, well, can you find the largest Eulerian subgraph? They say, sure. And, you know, then they give you the Hamiltonian cycle, right? Or they're lying. Any questions? See how we've restricted it to? We're using this to compute that. Okay? Yes?
That example, can't you have an
Eulerian
subgraph
with
more than
you can go in? How could you have an Eulerian subgraph of more? You can go into a vertex and get out, but you can't go back. You go back in, but you can't get out. Okay? You're stuck. Okay? Any questions? How do people sort of see the logic now? Okay? Any questions about that? Okay? Yes? Hamiltonian cycle means you visit every vertex exactly once. It's like a traveling salesman problem, if you wish. Okay? You know, you wanna visit a set, you wanna visit you have a bunch of tourist sites you want to visit. Okay, you're on vacation, you don't have a lot of time to waste. You want to visit all the tourist sites. Okay? And you know, you don't ever want to walk on it, any road, that you don't have to. So the question is, there a way to visit every tourist site and come back home without visiting any site more than once? Okay? That's exactly what Hamiltonian cycle says. Yes? Hamiltonian cycle and Hamiltonian circuit, I would say, are the same thing. So that's the same problem. Okay? Any questions? Okay, yes. NVR and NV complete are for your purposes the same thing. Okay? The technical distinction between them. Okay, what is the difference to be precise? NV hard means it's at least as hard as every problem we say is in this class NP. NP complete means it is NP hard, but also is an NP. Okay? Meaning the following. Again, it's a technical distinction. If you don't like it, don't worry about it. Both of them, NP complete and NP hard, both are hard. NP complete means that it's also, in some sense, a little bit easy. Okay? Because it can still be done in NP time. It's possible to guess a solution and prove that that solution is right efficiently. Verify it. There would exist problems that are as hard as any of the ones we've talked about, but maybe even harder. Maybe even if I told you I have the answer, I couldn't convince you I have the answer efficiently. What is an example of a problem that is harder than NP hard, if you wish? One example would be in chess. Let's say in chess. Okay? Suppose I give you a chessboard. You know, you sort of have some grandmaster come by. And the grandmaster looks at the chessboard and says, from here, white has a win. Okay? Black might as well resign now because white wins. Now, before Black resigns, you might say, hey, wise guy, prove to me that it's true. Okay? And that's a problem where there is no efficient way to prove that the guy's true. Okay? And so, but that one is as hard as any of the problems that we've seen. So for the purposes of this class, NP hard is the same as NP complete. So don't let that be confusing to you. Okay? There's an orthogonal theory distinction that's interesting. But take 303 and maybe you can understand that a little bit better. Okay? It's not that interesting. The interesting part is the hardness. Okay? I mean, it is interesting, but it's the most interesting part is this idea that a problem is hard to do. Okay? And both of them capture the idea of hard. Any questions? Okay? Any questions? Okay. Any other questions about hardness in general? The one thing I would like to do now is I'd like to review the solution I had.
Remember, last class we had my empty completeness challenge,
okay, where we, you know, picked a problem randomly from a book, okay, the book of all empty complete problems, and I was forced to try to come up with a empty completeness proof on the fly, and I actually had it at the end of class, okay, and I wanted, but I don't think we really had time to actually go through it to convince you, okay, of the correctness of my proof, and so I want to actually go through and show you this, just to sort of complete what we had been doing last class. Okay? I think you saw an empty completeness proof being formed. Let's just now go through and convince you of it again. Okay? So what was the problem we looked at last class? The problem that we gave is that we had as the proof arg was the problem max 2-sat. Right? What was the max 2-sat problem? It said that I was given a collection of clauses where each clause had exactly two terms in it. And I was given an integer j. And I was asking, is there a way to satisfy at least j of those clauses? Right? Okay, that's what max 2-sat was asking. Normal satisfiability says I give you a set of clauses and I demand you satisfy all of them. Okay? That's what, let's say, 3-sat is. 3-sat is I give you a set of clauses, each with 3 terms. Satisfy all m of them. That's hard, but true satisfiability, given a bunch of 2-satisfiable clauses, satisfy all of them. That happens not to be hard. But what is hard is, given a set of 2-satisfiability clauses, maybe you can't satisfy all of them. But can you satisfy 85% of them? Okay? That is what max 2-sat is asking. Any questions about max 2-sat, what the problem is? We talked about that last class, but I want to make sure. Does everybody understand the problem? And when I'm trying to come up with a proof, again, I wasted a little time playing around with trying to use satisfiability. In fact, the easy proof seemed to come from vertex cover. We figured out about midway through the class. What was vertex cover? Given its input of graph G and an integer K, is there a subset of K vertices such that every edge touches one of those K vertices? Right? That's what vertex cover is. Does everybody remember that problem? Any questions about what vertex cover is? We proved that one hard, okay, a few lectures ago. But any questions about what the two problems are? Like, show me an example or something like that. You should have seen them, but I'm happy to show you another example. Any questions?
So max 2-sat,
yeah,
is, I am a little bit confused.
Okay. So what is a max 2-sat problem?
You said satisfying 2-sat is easy.
Okay, so suppose I give you the following problem. Here's it today. V1, not V2, not V2, V3, let's say, V1, not V1, not V3, and let's say, not V1, V2. Okay? 3 variables. Is it possible to satisfy all of these? Is there a way to set V1, V2, and V3 such that all 4 of these clauses are true? It might be, I don't know. Okay, I've made it up. Anybody see a way to do it? Okay.
Those are all ends, right?
What?
Those are all ends, right?
These are all ors, and there's an and between them, right? That's just like with the regular clauses. So how would I like to get this one? Well, let's look at this thing. If I set V1 to be true, what can I do? I might as well set not V2 to be, if V1 is true. If I set V1 to be true, then I need to set B2 to be true, right? And now then I've got the trouble that I've got to set, I won't be able to satisfy both of these two with that last one, right? So I'm in trouble if I set B1 to be true. If I set B1 to be false, is life going to be okay for me? Well, if B1 is false, then what do I know about B2? False. If that's true, false, I get this one. What do I know about this one? B2 is false. Do I get all four of these? Yeah. Fortunately, I also happen to have another clause here. Okay. What was the other clause? The other clause was B1, B2. Okay? And now you're stuck, right? Now there is no way to make all of these things simultaneously true, right? So, it's polynomial time given a bunch of two-sat clauses. Can you satisfy all of them? But it's hard, and I will prove it hard. Can you satisfy 95% of them? Okay? It's sort of the same situation as with the maximum Eulerian subgraph, right? Given a graph, testing is an Eulerian. Is that easy or hard? Easy, right? Is counted on the degrees even? Given a graph, is it possible to visit 95% of the edges in an Eulerian cycle? Is that easy or hard? Probably hard, okay? So it's the same kind of game we're playing here. Does that answer your question? Okay? It's kind of weird that somehow saying, can I satisfy all of them is hard, but can I satisfy 95% of them is easier. It should seem easier to satisfy 95% of them. The difference is that to satisfy all of them, you usually have no choice where to go in certain places, right? Notice how we did this. We said that in order to satisfy this, if this was false, then damn it, this had to be true. That's true if you want to solve two sat exactly, but that's not true if you want to maximize the number of clauses, right? Maybe we sacrifice this clause and pick up the rest of them. So that's sort of hand-waving why max two sat might be harder than two sat. Okay, any questions? So what is the problem that I now want to do, and I talked about last class I did? Let's now go through my proof that, in fact, vertex cover of a graph. I can solve vertex cover of a graph using max two sat. Right? What is Bandersnatch and what is Bobillion? Bandersnatch is vertex cover, and Bobillion is max two sat, right? So I now want to show you, can you solve vertex cover by using maximum two sat? If so, then in fact, this problem is as hard as vertex cover, right? So how do I do it? Yes. So in general, Bobillion is what you're trying to prove. So if I say prove this problem is hard, okay, I have just given you Bobillion. If I say this problem is hard using X, prove problem A is hard using B, I have given you that A is Bobillion and B is Bandersnatch, right? Sometimes I make it easier for you and tell you what to use. That's what made this production so easy, was I started from the right problem. Sometimes we make the problem harder, like you did for me last class. You just picked max two sat. You didn't tell me what to use. Like, you told me to use satisfiability and you were wrong, okay? So, I mean, it could have been made to work from satisfiability, but I found it was easier to use vertex cover. Any questions? So let's go through the reduction, okay? I need to somehow build up sets of clauses and an integer, given a graph and an integer. Right? I have to do it in a clever way such that the maximum number of two-sat clauses you can satisfy are, in fact, will tell you what the vertex cover size is. Okay? So how am I doing this? I'm going to create two types of clauses. One clause, I'm going to have
n variables, if there's n vertices in the graph, I'm going to create one logic variable for every vertex, right? Vi is going to be true if vertex I is in the cover. Vi is false if vertex I is not in the cover. Okay? That's going to be my connection between the problems. How do I force this? Well, I'm going to have a two-sat clause. Vi, Vj. Okay? For every single edge in the graph. If ij is an edge in the graph, Vi, Vj is going to be a two-sat clause. Okay? What does that mean? If I wanted to get an exact two-sat solution, that means I've got to pick a subset of the variables such that every single edge has a true one in it, right? That means I've got to pick a true vertex for every clause such that it covers every edge, right? So it sort of is looking like a cover, isn't it? Doesn't that look like a vertex cover? Vertex covers pick a subset of edges, subset of variables to cover all edges. This says pick a subset of variables so that every edge clause is covered. Okay? Does everybody see the connection a little bit so far? But is that enough? What's so hard about, given those set of clauses, maximizing the number that are true? Given just these clauses, how would you maximize, find a truth assignment to maximize the number that are true? Set all the variables true, you get all the edge clauses true, right? So I now need to punish you for setting too many variables to be true, right? So how can I do this? What if I create another set of clauses? One for every single vertex. Not Vi, not Vi. Okay? So this has false Vi, false Vi. The same variable occurring twice. I can get rid of that later if you want me to, but I think it's just the easiest way for me to think about it. Okay? So if I set all of these variables to be true, I get all of those edges. But how many of those clauses, but how many of these clauses do I get? What? Well, if I have a clause, not Vi, not Vi, and these were all positive occurrences of variables, if I set all the variables to true, I satisfy all of these clauses. How many of these do I satisfy? None of them, right? Okay. So how do I get both?